Welcome back to our study of Joshua. We are in chapter 13, and we're going to pick up with verse 7 and just keep on reading together. Now, therefore, divide this land for an inheritance unto the nine tribes and the half-tribe of Manasseh, with whom the Reubenites and the Gadites have received their inheritance, which Moses gave them, beyond Jordan eastward, even as Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave them, from Aroer, that is upon the bank of the river Arnon, and the city that is in the midst of the river, and all the plain of Medeba unto Dibon, and all the cities of Sihon, king of the Amorites, which reigned in Heshbon unto the border of the children of Ammon, and Gilead, and the border of the Jeshurites, and the Maacathites, and all Mount Hermon, and all Bashan unto Salca, all the kingdom of Og and Bashan, which reigned in Ashtoreth and in Edrei, who remained of the remnant of the giants, for these did Moses smite and cast them out. Nevertheless, the children of Israel expelled not the Jeshurites and the Maacathites, but the Jeshurites and the Maacathites dwell among the Israelites until this day. Only unto the tribe of Levi he gave none inheritance. The sacrifices of the Lord God of Israel, made by fire, are their inheritance, as he said unto them. And Moses gave unto the tribe of the children of Reuben inheritance according to their families. And their coast was from Aroer, that is on the bank of the river Arnon, and the city that is in the midst of the river, and all the plain by Medeba, Heshbon, and all her cities that are in the plain, Dibon, and Bamoth-Baal, and Beth-Baal-Meon, and Jehazah, and Kedemoth, and Mephibath, and Kirjath-Aim, and Sibeth, and Sidma, and Zareth-Shahar, and the mouth of the valley, and Beth-Peor, and Ashdoth-Pisgah, and Beth-Jeshimoth, all the cities of the plain, and all the kingdom of Sihon, king of the Amorites, which reigned in Heshbon, which Moses smote with the princes of Midian, Evi, and Rechem, and Zor, and Hur, and Reba, which were dukes of Sihon, dwelling in the country. Balaam, also the son of Beor, the soothsayer, did the children of Israel slay with the sword among them that were slain by them. And the border of the children of Reuben was Jordan, and the border thereof. This was the inheritance of the children of Reuben, after their families, the cities and the villages thereof. And Moses gave inheritance unto the tribe of Gad, even unto the children of Gad, according to their families. And their coast was Jazer, and all the cities of Gilead, and half the land of the children of Ammon, unto Aroer, that is before Rabbah. And from Heshbon unto Ramoth-Mizpah, and Betanim, and from Mahanaim unto the border of Debir, and in the valley of Betharim, and Beth-Nimrah, and Succoth, and Zaphon, and the rest of the kingdom of Sihon, king of Heshbon, Jordan and his border, even unto the edge of the sea of Cinnereth, on the other side Jordan eastward. This is the inheritance of the children of Gad, after their families, the cities, and their villages. And Moses gave inheritance unto the half-tribe of Manasseh, and this was the possession of the half-tribe of the children of Manasseh by their families. And their coast was from Mahanaim, all Bashan, all the kingdom of Og, and the kingdom of Og, king of Bashan, and all the towns of Jair, which are in Bashan, threescore cities, and half Gilead, and Ashtoreth, and Edrei, cities of the kingdom of Og in Bashan, are pertaining unto were pertaining unto the children of Machir, the son of Manasseh, even to one half of the children of Machir by their families. These are the countries which Moses did distribute for inheritance in the plains of Moab, and on the other side of Jordan by Jericho eastward. But unto the tribe of Levi Moses gave not any inheritance. The Lord God of Israel was their inheritance, as he said unto them.
Very good.
Thank you.
Now, you can see here that he's just given the boundaries. He's not naming all the cities, just part of them. For instance, so in with Manasseh, the half tribe of Manasseh, he said 60 cities, and these aren't named, you understand? And so what you need to see is this is a lot of territory that the Israelites are getting, a lot of these cities, and now they're not going to have to live in tents, you understand? They'll be able to have their own homes and live not nomadic, but with permanent residence. How's that?
Chapter 14. And these are the countries which the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest, and Joshua the son of Nun, and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel distributed for the inheritance to them. By lot was their inheritance, as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses, for the nine tribes and for the half-tribe.
Notice this. Notice who's distributing the land. Notice the leadership of Israel. It's not a separation of church and state, so to speak. It's the church that is the leadership of the state. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
And we should be the leaders. And what I mean by that is we shouldn't be taking a back seat, but that we should be standing up for the Lord Jesus Christ, and to where we have people in positions of authority making decisions. And I'm not talking about overthrowing the government. I'm talking about being led by the Spirit of God and doing what God's called you to do.
Verse 3, for Moses has given the inheritance of two tribes and a half-tribe on the other side Jordan, but unto the Levites he gave none inheritance among them. For the children of Joseph were two tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim. Therefore they gave no part unto the Levites in the land, save cities to dwell in with their suburbs, for their cattle and for their subsistence. As the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did, and they divided the land.
You understand that all this cattle that they had before they crossed over, okay, and of course the Reubenites and the Gad and Manasseh, they wanted east of the Jordan because it was good pasture land. But then they're taking all these, as they're conquering these cities, they're taking all their flocks, all their herds, and so they need land to pasture them, to take care of their cattle, and so this is distributed, and these people have a lot of territory. It's not favoritism involved in this thing, okay? And so this land is divided up following the instructions that God gave to Moses. So everything is still being done by the command of God. Okay?
Verse 6.
This is not political, is what I'm trying to say. It's not favoritism. It's not popularity.
Verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me, and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I was brought him word again, as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day, and thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance.
Now there's some things that I want you to look at here, and you do a little bit of math and figure some things out, okay? Caleb is of the tribe of Judah. And so Caleb goes to Joshua, and he tells him that when we went to spy out the land, you understand, Joshua was one of the spies, he said, I was 40 years old. Now he says 45 years on to the 40. They were 40 years in the wilderness, right? Mm-hmm. So it appears that they're about 5 years into this campaign when Caleb comes to Joshua and says, give me this territory. You follow that? Mm-hmm. I'm 85 now. And the territory that he's wanting is what was already given to him, what was already promised to him by Moses, the place where he walked. Now, the interesting thing about this was a very fortified place. Fenced city, walls around the city. It was a place of the giants. But here Caleb says, I'm just as good now as I ever was. You know, I can go out to war, I can come in from war, I can lead, I can engage in battle. He didn't say, give me some place where the enemy's not. He said, give me the place where the enemy's strongest. You follow in all that? Here's a man that had faith in God. He is the one who said, when the 10 spies are saying, basically, they're going to eat us alive. And Caleb is saying, they're going to be our lunch. You understand? Let's go up at once. And he still has that same attitude at 85 as he did at 40. Let's go up. Give me this land. I believed we could take it then. I believe I can take it now. The Lord's with me. Then I'll take the land. You understand? It's amazing that in those 45 years, he had not lost his vision. He had not lost his hope. He had not given up. But he stayed true to God, and he ended up getting the very land that he walked on that Moses told him that he could have. There again, God just proves himself faithful.
May we take a look at this for a minute?
Go ahead.
If you remember Psalm 103, if y'all want to turn there, I like to camp down on the first 5 verses. And I'm reminded of how important it was in taking all this territory, of how The Israelite soldiers had to keep before them the word of the Lord, the promise of the Lord, that they would inherit this territory, that he was with them, that he would fight for them. And we have so many promises embedded in this word that we can speak over ourselves and remind ourselves. And you think about just the first couple verses here. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Remember who it is that's going with you and fighting for you. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. Remember what he's done for you and what he will do for you. Who forgives all my iniquities and heals all my diseases. I make it personal. Who redeems my life from destruction and who crowns or encircles me with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who encircles me with compassion, kindness and compassion. Who satisfies my mouth, who satisfies me with good, so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. Now I know that this is a spiritual promise, but I speak this over myself. Don't you think that Caleb, at 85 years old, might have had some people saying some different things about his strength and his ability? Don't you think today? You think of how society looks at people based on their age and determines what they can or cannot do based on a number. We have to speak life over ourselves. We have to keep the Word of God before us and remember the promises that he's given us. And we have to be in agreement with that. It's not just enough to read it and hope that it's true. We have to be in agreement and believe it.
You know, every day, every night, I speak to this over myself and have for years. But here's the thing. You're talking to yourself. Bless the Lord, O my soul. You're talking to yourself. And I talk out loud. I talk to myself. It's good to talk to somebody sensible once in a while. But I do. I talk to myself. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Now, here's the thing. Who has already forgiven, not who does. He has already forgiven me of my iniquities, my sins. He has already healed me of all diseases. When did he do that? Isaiah 53. You understand? The provision for redemption was made before we were born. But we have to get the realization that it's a reality in our life. So bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Don't you forget the benefits. He has forgiven you all of your iniquities. He's healed all your diseases. He encircles you. You understand that crown, if you look at that, actually the King James is not a real good translation of that, I don't think. Crowns you with loving kindness. No, he encircles me with loving kindness, with tender mercies. He fills me to satisfaction. He redeems my life from destruction. He fills me to satisfaction is a better rendering. And my youth is renewed as the eagle. I get amused at people talking about the age. It was just told me today. I didn't know you were that old, you know. I don't think age. I don't think numbers. That may not make sense to some of you. Birthdays don't mean anything to me. It means I've lived a day longer, okay? If I need to climb a ladder, I still climb a ladder. If I need to pick up something, I pick up something. I don't think about, well, you old and this is this and you shouldn't be doing it. And I get reminded of that a lot. You shouldn't be doing that. You should have that. You've got to get that out of your thinking, because what you give up, you're going to lose. Don't give it up. I was at a person's house, and the man across the street at that time was 90 years old, and he was up on a ladder cleaning his gutters. And the person that I was visiting said, I want you to look at that. And I go out there and get on to him. I said, that's probably why he's 90, because he's still active. Don't stop the man from being active, you understand? Let him be active. Don't think about your age. Think about your assignment. And fulfill your assignment, regardless of how old you are. It doesn't matter. But stop telling yourself you're old and, you know, well, you know, you get this age and this happens and this happens. Well, if that's what you want to happen, let it happen. But I've learned don't talk against yourself. You speak in agreement with the Word of God. Get your mind again on what you're supposed to do and just do it. Don't ask your body if you feel like it. So just tell your body what you're going to do. Right? Okay, a little pep talk there. That's what Caleb is doing. You follow me? And that's what you have to learn. To me, it's a prime example. Don't let age get in the way of doing what God wants you to do. You're not too young to do what God wants you to do, and you're not too old to do what God wants you to do. He's smarter than you are, and he wouldn't ask you to do something if you weren't old enough to do it, and he wouldn't ask you to do something if you're too old. You follow me?
Yeah.
Father knows best. Stay with him.
Amen.
I tell myself now, you know, I have to watch myself because I'm thinking I could fight some more still. You know, there's stuff going on, and I still know how to shoot. Just, you know, I'm not supposed to be saying all that. Okay, go ahead. Yeah, I'm talking about literal wars.
Yes. Hey, I believe it. Sign you up. Okay. Verse 13 of chapter 14 in Joshua. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron was Kirjath Arba, which is Arba. Let me read that again. Which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war.
So this will give you a little bit of insight. The land had rest from war. So this wasn't just done in one battle. This was not done in just one day. And, you know, people absolutely amaze me at their ignorance. And it's obvious that they know nothing about military. They know nothing about combat. They know nothing about conquest. They think you're just supposed to go out there and tomorrow everything's settled. Or everything ought to be taken care of in a week. That's why they call them campaigns. You understand? Because there's so much involved, it takes time. And especially when you're going up against a formidable opponent, then you just don't go out there and commit suicide. No, you get a strategy, and you go in, and you're patient if you want to survive. And you do things in the best way that you can possibly do it. In our case, it'd be led by the Spirit of God, right? Get your strategy from God. Follow your strategies. You follow me? I don't know. I just see things differently than people, and I get tired of hearing the lying news talk about all the garbage that they talk about when they don't have a clue of what's going on. You do things God's way. You do things in God's timing. If it takes years, then it takes years. I admire Benjamin Netanyahu. I admire the man because he sticks to his guns. He doesn't have a date. Well, when should this be over? When we get it all won, that's when it'll be over. Whether it's tomorrow or whether it's a year from now or 2 years from now, that's irrelevant. What's relevant is we've got to do what's in the best interest of our nation. And we have to have that mindset. And you've got to have that mindset in your own personal Christian walk. You do what's in the best interest of all those concerned. You don't put a timetable on it. You do what you know to do, and you stay with it until you get it done. You understand? You never give up. It's just like, I don't know, you know, when you look at a war, there's a difference between winning a battle and winning the war, or losing the battle and losing the war. Along the way, you may lose a battle, but you win the war. There is always a sacrifice. There's always things that you run into. There's conflicts and all that. And obviously, if you're going to take territory, you're going to put yourself in harm's way. But is it worth it? Absolutely. I wear a T-shirt every once in a while that says, "I prefer dangerous liberty over peaceful slavery." Thomas Jefferson. You understand? That's why we're a free country today. No, I'm not interested in coming under communism. I'm not interested in somebody telling me how to live my life. You follow me? And so, yeah, there's risks to take in being free. People talk, you know, the people out here protest and march, they don't know that there's people out there that fought and risk their lives to give these numbskulls the ability to walk and protest about something they don't even know what they're talking about. You better be thankful I'm not the leader of their country, I can tell you that. There wouldn't be any protests, not long. Yeah, now you really want to know how I feel. I have that Caleb spirit on the inside of me, I'll tell you that right now. Not afraid of the giants, you understand? Take them down.
Chapter 15?
You better move on.
Okay. This, then, was the lot of the tribe of the children of Judah by their families, even to the border of Edom. The wilderness of Zin, southward, was the uttermost part of the south coast. And their south border was from the shore of the Salt Sea.
Stop you just a minute. Pay attention to this, and you'll see what Israel's actual territory is that God gave them. And you start realizing how much territory man has stolen from them.
From the bay that looketh southward. Verse 3. And it went out to the south side to Male Achaiacribin, and passed along to Zin, and ascended up on the south side to Kadesh Barnea, and passed along to Hezron, and went up to Adar, and fetched a compass to Karkea. From thence it passed toward Asmon, and went out unto the river of Egypt. And the goings out of that coast were at the sea. This shall be your south coast.
When it fetched a compass, it means it circled around. Okay. Terminology that I don't use. I don't know about you guys.
No. And the east border was the Salt Sea, even unto the end of the Jordan. And their border in the north quarter was from the bay of the sea at the uttermost part of Jordan.
The Salt Sea is the Dead Sea, okay?
And the border went up to Beth Hogla, and passed along by the north of Beth Araba, and the border went up to the stone Bohan, and the son of Reuben. And the border went up toward Debir, from the valley of Achor, and so northward, looking toward Gilgal, that is before the going up to Adullam, which is on the south side of the river. and the border passed toward the waters of Enshemesh, and the goings out thereof were at Engrogel. And the border went up by the valley of the son of Hinnom, unto the south side of the Jebusite. The same is Jerusalem, and the border went up to the top of the mountain that lieth before the valley of Hinnom, westward, which is at the end of the valley of the giants northward. And the border was drawn from the top of the hill unto the fountain of the water of Nephtuah, and went out to the cities of Mount Ephron. And the border was drawn to Baalah, which is Kirjath-Jearim, and the border compassed from Baalah westward unto Mount Seir, and passed along unto the side of Mount Jearim, which is Chesalon, on the north side, and went down to Beth-Shemesh, and passed on to Timnah. And the border went out on the side of Ekron northward, and the border was drawn to Sichron, and passed along Mount Baalah, and went out to Jabneel. And the goings out of the border were at the sea. And the west border was to the great sea, and the coast thereof. This is the coast of the children of Judah, round about according to their families. And unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he gave a part among the children of Judah, according to the commandment of the Lord, to Joshua, even the city of Arba, the father of Anak, which is the city Hebron. And Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak, Sheshai, and Ahiman, and Talmai, the children of Anak. And he went up thence to the inhabitants of Debir, and the name of Debir before was Kirjath-Sefer. And Caleb said, He that smiteth Kirjath-Sefer, and taketh it, to him I will give Aksa, my daughter, to wife. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, took it, and he gave it to Aksa, his daughter, to wife. And it came to pass, as she came unto him, that she moved to ask of her father a field. And she lighted off her ass, and Caleb said unto her, What wouldest thou? Who answered, Give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a south land. Give me also springs of water. And he gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. This is the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Judah, according to their families.
You know, when you look at that, there are several things here that interests me in this. Nether means lower. He gave her the upper springs, the lower springs. But here it shows you that it's not just Caleb, like it wasn't just Joshua fighting, but leading. And so Caleb, as far as Kirjath-Jearim, he offers his daughter to the one who will go up and take the city. Think about it. Well, didn't David fight and the Philistines for one of Saul's daughters? Yeah. And so this is what Caleb is doing. If whoever takes Kirjath-Sefer, then I'll give you my daughter. Well, his nephew is the one who took the city, Othniel. Okay. And so then Othniel marries his cousin, Aksa, his daughter, Caleb's daughter, and then she requests some more water. We need more water. You know, you've given me this, but how about this? And so, sure, he gave her what she asked for, right? Now, this is just the tribe of Judah that he's showing you the borders. Now, something else that you should take into consideration when you're reading some of these names, when you get into the kings, you're going to find some of these city names come back up. And you think about Saul, what was he doing? He was fighting with the Philistines. Why is he fighting with the Philistines? Because Judah has not taken the territory out yet. When you see David running from Saul and hiding some of the cities that David would smite and not leave anybody living, they were cities that the Israelites were commanded to wipe out and not leave anybody living. You understand? I just, Keilah, for instance. In other words, take these cities. And so Ziklag, that was their territory. Gath, Ekron, Ashdod, you look at these Philistine cities. They belonged to the Israelites. In other words, this was divided out to them. You take Gath, you take Gaza, but they failed to do it. And they stood there cohabiting with the people, and it was just like Moses told, all right, there'll be thorns in your sides, thorns in your eyes. They're going to be a pain in the neck to you, in other words. Okay. And so what David was doing was not something illegal or barbaric. He was just taking territory that God had already given. And you're going to see some of these names just when you read through Samuel and you look at that. Or some of the other kings, you'll see these cities surface. Okay, our time's up, so we'll have to stop here, and we'll give Heather a break and let her do some more practicing. thank you. Thank you that you bless us indeed. Gin large our territory, your hands with us to keep us from evil, so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your counsel upon us and give us peace. So, Lord, we invite you to rise up. Let your enemies be scattered and those who hate you flee before you. Amen.
Amen.
You guys have a great rest of the week and stay cool.